Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and just share a little bit before we look at the scripture. Monday morning, this was after our 25-year celebration, it's my habit to spend time alone with God early morning before breakfast, before the day gets going. And I was just started thanking the Lord for so many things. I was so grateful. And it is my habit to pray and then to always read the scriptures, some portion of scripture, because it kind of focuses my mind and my heart on him and how he sees life. And I was reading, actually, the morning that Jesus rose again from the dead. And I was reading the story about how these three women, they were grieving because they'd seen Christ crucified and they'd seen that his body was in the tomb. And they never expected to see him again because they'd gone to anoint the body of Jesus. And I can't imagine how hard that would have been. Even just knowing Jesus now, if he disappeared for 3 days, well, I wouldn't know what to do with my life. So they must have felt something so profound because they knew him as such a miracle worker, somebody whose words actually changed them when they listened, and everything about his character, they were so, he was like, it was like a magnet. They just wanted him. But now, for them, he was dead in that moment. And in Mark's gospel, the story goes they came to the tomb, the stone had been rolled away, and they entered into the tomb, and they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter." And I love that, because Peter's the one who denied him. He'd failed. So I love the emphasis of communicating that Jesus wants to see you. And even if you failed, he still wants to see you. "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Now, as I was meditating on this, and I believe this simple message will actually help you to live your Christian life as a follower of Jesus. Not only is he risen and alive, but he has a desire that we see him. We believe he died, he was crucified. We believe he rose again from the dead. But he wants us to see him. Isn't that amazing? I find that extraordinary. That he doesn't just want us to believe the truth, he wants us to have an experience of him as a person. Yes. If I meet you in the coffee shop, that means I'm meeting a person. Yes. And I'm going to be able to talk and experience them in the coffee shop. Yes. So Jesus actually said, tell my disciples, I'll see them there in a certain place. He gave them a word that if they acted on, they would see and experience Jesus. So he always starts with a word. "I'll see you in a certain place." And he says, if you act on that word and you want to see me, I will reveal myself to you. Now, this changed their whole expectation of going to a certain place to see Jesus. From being a grieving little group of women, they began to be so excited that they were going to see the resurrected, glorified, actually risen Lord Jesus. There are also, you read from this story, there are wrong places where you won't see him. Okay, so he wasn't in the tomb. He's not dead. He's alive. He's no longer on the cross. He's accomplished the great work of salvation for all humanity, for all time. Praise the name of Jesus. He's alive. Now, we were on Monday morning, we were getting ready, we were going away on Tuesday to a pastor's conference in London. And while I was meditating on this, the Lord said, I'll see you there. Well, there were 600 pastors who gathered in a large C of E church. There were just two of us amongst 600. But on the way up, we weren't excited about pastors' conference, because we'd heard that he would see us there. And it completely changed everything about us going. I'll see you there. And I wonder if you could take that word as a word from God, that God has certain places where he wants to see you. Yes. You can go to certain things that when you act on what he says to do, you're going to see him. You're going to experience him in doing those things that he said, or going where he said to go. And I want to tell you this morning, he really wants you to see him. And we're not a church that live just in theory. We actually want to see Jesus. This morning, I didn't just want to sing. I wanted to see Jesus. That was why I came. I don't just come to church. I want to come to Jesus, because I know he's the source of everything good. He is our life. Before I move on from the pastor's conference, there were famous people there speaking. Didn't matter. There were fantastic bands and worship leaders. Didn't matter. There were 600 people in that room who just wanted Jesus. And from the first chorus, just one simple chorus, we started to cry. And we cried nearly all the way through that conference, because there is such a hunger for Jesus going on amongst those pastors and therefore the churches they're from. The passion for Jesus wasn't on the platform. It was amongst all those people. And as soon as that raw cry, actually they sang an old, just a simple line, praise God from whom all blessings flow. They just sang that, and we're weeping because we're with a people who want Jesus. And God is looking for a people who want Jesus. Him. Who want to seek him and know him. And it's my kind of understanding of what he wants to do this morning is to show you how you can see him and where you can see him. Because I feel sometimes we get lost in an emotional, how can I see Jesus? Whereas the word is very clear about how we can see him and where we can see him. I love what these disciples who were John the Baptist followers, they'd been following John the Baptist, and Jesus had arrived on the scene. And let me tell you, when Jesus arrives on the scene, it doesn't matter who else is there, he's the one you want. He outsmarts, outlives, he's everything better than anyone else. That's who he is. So it's not about who's preaching, it's about Jesus. Wonderful. So these disciples started to follow Jesus because John the Baptist had said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away." They saw something when John the Baptist spoke of Jesus. And it moved their hearts away from a minister to Jesus. And Jesus turned, and I love it, he sees them following. He turns, seeing them following, and he said, "What do you seek?" You see, Jesus was also used to people who wanted things from him. And he was willing to heal. He was willing to provide because he's good. And he always wants to do people good. But these followers said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" In other words, it's not things we want you. Everything else is secondary to knowing Jesus. And actually, the church is all about Jesus. And it's wonderful to me that these disciples already knew in their hearts, actually, I want him. More than what he gives, more than what he blesses with, it's actually him that I want. Now, you and I know the right doctrine that after he'd risen, he could still only be in one place at one time, even though he was a resurrected body. But once he'd ascended and the Spirit came, this scripture that Jesus spoke about in John 14 became a reality. In John chapter 14, speaking about the Spirit of truth, for those who believe in Jesus, he says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see or receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him because he dwells in you and will be with you." So Jesus is no longer in one place at one time. He's with you and he's in you. That is the truth of being a believer. You become born again and God lives in you. I hope we could never get over that. So God isn't far away. If he's in you, dwelling in your heart, your spirit, for all who believe and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that makes you an extraordinary person. Not because of you, but because of him. He's the extraordinary one, isn't he? And so now Jesus is everywhere in his people, wherever they are. Wherever you are, he is. It's wonderful. And we must just simply believe. Right now, where you sit, where you're listening, he lives in you if you believe in Jesus, in his death and resurrection. Wow. No wonder where you are is an awesome place. Does anybody believe? Yes. It just takes simple faith, but it's so profound that if you think you know that already, you've missed it. Because it's about believing and expectation that God is in you. And so we're in better days, actually, than those days when they saw him for 40 days. Because he was with them, but not in them. But now we have God in us, because he sent his Holy Spirit. So where can we meet him? If he's already here, surely there's nothing we have to do? Well, that's not true, is it? Because we understand that though he's already here, he responds to seekers, those who want him. If we are Jesus seekers, we're not seeking someone who isn't here, but we're seeking him to be revealed and manifest in us. Can you understand that? He is here, but I'm seeking him to reveal himself to me and to manifest himself through me. Amen. That's a really important understanding of what it means to seek the Lord. And Jesus always promised that whoever seeks me will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So in other words, to seek is actually a very strong word. So if I'm seeking my car keys, it means I'm pursuing my keys. If I'm seeking a bit of cheese from the fridge, I am pursuing cheese. And all I have to do is open that fridge door, but I don't seek cheese if I sit on the sofa and it stays in the fridge. That's not seeking. Seeking means a pursuit, a going after. And let me tell you, that is what you need for a healthy Christian life. To be a seeker, a going after, a pursuit of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, God doesn't move with casual. He moves when we seek, when we want him. So how and where can we meet him? Well, I'm going to go through four, but there are many ways, so I'm not going to limit it to four. But these are important ways that we meet him, and it's there that he says, I'll meet with you. You'll see me in these places. And the first one is that in the scriptures, we will find him. In his word, the Bible. The Bible. Really important, number one. But did you know you can know the scriptures and not know Jesus? The Jews were like this in John chapter 5. And Jesus spoke to them and he said, you search, you're looking. You know a lot of scripture. Because in them, the scriptures, you think you'll have eternal life. But he said, they do speak of me. The scriptures speak of Jesus, but then he said this really important. If you're wanting to seek Jesus, first you need to come to him. So whenever you approach scripture, the Bible, you come to the person, you come to Jesus and say, Lord, I want you to reveal and open my eyes to see you through all the pages of the Bible. The Bible is all about Jesus. From the beginning to the end, the story speaks about God's Son. He is God's message. He is the message of the Bible. I was thinking about this. If you read the Old Testament and the story of Noah, he's the ark that preserves us from destruction. You're safe in him. You'll never, ever experience destruction because you are in Christ. He is our Samson. You remember Samson stood between the pillars? Even though he was probably felt the weakest point. He asked God to strengthen him one more time. And in Samson's death, more was accomplished than in his whole life. That speaks of Jesus. In the cross, more was accomplished than even throughout his life and ministry. Great victory was accomplished. He is our Joseph, who was rejected by his own brothers. Isn't that wonderful? And he went ahead to win the world, to save the world, and then eventually his own people, Israel. Isn't that wonderful? You can see Jesus all through the Old Testament if you'll look for him. And you'll ask to see, I want to see Jesus. After Jesus had risen, before he'd ascended to glory, he was walking along the road to Emmaus with two disciples. He caught up to them. They didn't know it was him, which speaks to me about none of us can know him without him revealing himself. Your brain can't know without God showing you who Jesus is. He isn't a brain, he's spirit. Really important, we know him by the Spirit. And Jesus is walking along with them, road to Emmaus. Why are you so sad and depressed? Because, I mean, he already knew, but the question revealed what was going on in them. And I can't go too long into this story. But it says in Luke 24, Jesus didn't sort of in that moment say, it's me. It's me. Can't you see me? He took the scriptures from the Old Testament, beginning at Moses and the prophets. That's the word of God. And he gave them a Bible study. I don't know if you've ever had a Bible study walking along a road. They would have, to be honest, I think a lot of us who do Bible studies that way, you might put people off. But when Jesus does it, your heart will burn in you. Something will happen on the inside of you because he's telling you. He's revealing the scriptures to you. He expounded to them all the scriptures concerning himself. What is he saying? The Old Testament's all pointing to me. My sacrifice is speaking to me, to you, of my love, of who I am, that I would come and die and rise again and offer salvation to all who will believe. It's speaking of my death and resurrection. This is who I am. And actually, in that moment, they felt the scriptures opened by Jesus transform them. Something happened. Because you see, when we have the scriptures open to us, we change. We change. It's wonderful. In John 6:63, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. The flesh, the natural man, profits nothing. And every word I'm speaking that is the word of God is spirit. It is life. It contains divine life. The word is spirit, is living and life. Transferring life to a believer, which is why spending time in the scriptures with him changes everything. It changes a sad person to a joyful person. A stressed out person to a peaceful person. It takes someone who's struggling relationally to someone who knows the wisdom of the ages on how to relate in this situation. It changes someone who's struggling financially into showing you the way to be blessed. The word of God is able to transform everything about the human life. And he said, I'll see you there. If you come to my word and ask me, you'll meet with me there. That's the first place and very important place in this generation, because the word of God is what Jesus upholds in every generation. And if it isn't in the word, I don't want to know it. It's not God. How can you tell something's God? You test it against the true, the perfect, the word of the living God. Wonderful. Tell somebody next to you, I love the word of God because it reveals Jesus to me. That should change how you approach the word. I'll see you there. Just imagine opening your Bible and hearing the Lord say, I'll see you there. I'll see you here. Completely alters your whole expectation. Because God always responds to faith. He always rewards faith. It's so important, isn't it? Expectation. The second way, and I just have these in a kind of things that I've learned from my life, is from James chapter 4 and verse 8. Just the simple, draw near to God. Let's start with this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We know he's already here in us. But it's a practice of turning to the one who is in you. I turn my heart, my mind, my thoughts to Jesus. You're here. I'm drawing near to you to love you. And the thing about this practice, it happens when you drive a car, when you do the washing up. You can do this at work. You can do it when you don't know what to do. You draw near, Lord. I'm drawing near to you. I want to just say you're here. And because you're here, I'm okay. Everything will be fine. I'm just going to come to you and say, I want you. I desire you. And I thank you that you draw near to me. In other words, you're going to relate to me in this moment. You're not just standing there doing nothing. You're moving towards me. What a promise. At any point in any day, oh, Lord, I draw near to you. I'm struggling in this moment. I'm tired. I draw near. You are my strength. Would you just draw near to me and refresh me? Because I've got a long day ahead. And he will. But this also shows us that you won't find him if you remain in sin. If you stay in sin, what he considers to be not right with him. And so he says, before you kind of can really enter in to meeting with me, there needs to be a repentance, a cleansing of anything that is revealed as you draw near. And often it'll be as I draw near, I realize, hang on, I was a bit short with that person. I need to say sorry. As I'm coming, I'll get this. I need to be cleansed. Forgive me my sin, Lord. Is anybody... You know the experience? If you carry on in sin, it actually distances you from the Lord. And you can actually backslide completely. It's very dangerous to accommodate sin. And the scripture says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We've been singing, he is holy. We are to be holy. Yes. So he still wants us to draw near, But if we need to confess our sins, he will cleanse us because his blood still cleanses our hearts and our actions, hands and hearts, what you do and the inner thoughts and attitudes of your heart. He doesn't just deal in what you do, he deals in heart attitudes. We want Jesus, don't we? And so we must apply the word so that we can experience him on a daily basis. I believe God is wanting to do far more than we've ever seen before. But it will take you meeting with him and me meeting with him in truth. That's the next way to see him. I often think of the Old Testament scripture in Proverbs because it's very similar to me, to James's word. It's often quoted, it's on people's fridges. But for me, it's something I like living. Proverbs, trust in the Lord. You know this one. Rely on him. Acknowledge him with all your heart. It just takes a stepping back in a moment and saying, Lord, I trust you. Yes. I'm just going to rely on you in this because you're in me. Yes. I refuse to lean on how I think about life. How do you see this situation? Yes. How do you want me to see it? I won't lean on what I think and my opinions. You know, your opinions can actually keep you distance from God. Oof. But you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, as you live out your daily lives, acknowledge him. Who is he? He's Jesus Christ, the Lord. So I acknowledge him as my Lord and my Savior. So I come under him, but I also acknowledge him as the only one who will save me. From myself, from my own sort of tendency to do the wrong, say the wrong thing, or just from not knowing what to do in life. And he promises he will direct our paths. That's a living, you'll see me here, Jesus. This is where you're going to see God. In that scripture and James. I'll see you there. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know if you want to say to somebody next to you, this is doing me good. And why don't you say to the Lord, I want to see you there. Ooh, I want to see you in my daily life, moment by moment. I want to see Jesus. It's wonderful. The next place that we see him, Matthew 6:6. I won't go on too long. I know you're hot and tired, but he wants to revive our hearts to seek him again. In the secret place, Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, you, just say, but me. So who's he talking to? Me. So when you pray, not always, it's public prayer, it's a prayer together in families, but there must be, for every believer, an alone time with God. Without your phones and supportive worship. Because you can bring your favorite worship into that secret place. Jesus just wants you and him. And we have to learn how to be in a place without noise. Close your door. When you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, in other words, find a place. I always found it funny, but I understood it. Mum with three kids, the loo was the best place for her to find time alone with God. Because everywhere else, the kids were there. So she just used to withdraw to her secret place. And the Lord doesn't mind, because he's looking for seekers, because there he's going to meet you, in the secret place. Wonderful. Your father, pray to your father. Who is in, where is he? What expectation you'll have when you go and pray. It'll change you being alone with God. You won't go, I've got to spend time with God. Hang on a minute. My father is there. What does that speak of? A child relationship with a loving father who cares. You can cast all your cares onto him because he cares for you. He is your provider. If you're stressed about being a provider, God is your provider. It's wonderful. Your father who is in the secret place and your father who sees. It's enough for me to. He sees whether you do. He's actually listening to what I'm saying. And actually what you're saying in your heart. He hears everything and sees everything. And so when he sees you go, he goes, they want me. They depend on me. They want to see me. I'm going to meet you there. I'll meet you there in that place. Isn't that wonderful? I encourage you to have the discipline of prayer daily, but with a huge dose of expectation and joy, because your Father is in that place. There you will see him. So what have we said? We've said you'll see him in the scriptures. You'll see him when you draw near, just simply turn to him in your heart. He's there. I'll see you there. You'll see me when you trust me. Refuse to lean on what you think. Acknowledge me and my will in all your ways. I'll direct your path. I'll show you the way to go. Wonderful. And I'll see you in the secret place. That's another place where the risen, alive Jesus Christ will meet us in that place. I mean, when we say we're meeting another person, it is God that we meet. Aren't we the most blessed people on earth? Called to meet God? And finally, Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. Very important. Not just to have a beer. That I'm there. That you acknowledge Jesus in your friendships. Did you know one good Jesus friend is so important that you make Jesus friends. Friends who know Jesus. If your group of friends aren't saved and you have no Christian friends, it's something God wants you to grow. To be more aware of Jesus' friends because they know him. And particularly if they've walked with God longer than you have, they have more than you do knowledge about Jesus, and they can help you walk with him. This can happen over a meal, or it can happen in a connect group. Why do we meet in homes? Why? Because we are acknowledging that he is there. I'll meet you there. If you gather in my name, I am there. Two or three. Don't despise two or three. Because you're just not seeing straight. to see straight is Jesus is here, or in your families, in your marriage. I am there. Wonderful. To have homes full of God is when we acknowledge him in that place. You are here. I'll meet you in fellowship. Isolation is not God's will. I've heard super spiritual people come to me and say, I don't need church. It's just me and Jesus. And I just say, well, you don't know him. You can't know him. Because he has called people to do life together, his people. To become part of a family, actually, a local church. The church is the family of God. And Jesus didn't just say gather in small groups. He also speaks in the book of Acts, but also when he was in the temple, he speaks about the bigger gatherings, which I have to say is a routine. We meet regularly because he's here. Gathering together in the name of Jesus. And when he was in the temple on the last day of the feast, it says there were loads of people milling around. It was full. It was full of people. Did you know you can have meetings without Jesus? Because nobody's looking for him. It's all to do with the seeker. If you seek, you'll find. And if we seek, the lid comes off what God can do in a corporate gathering. There is a dynamic of God amongst these bigger meetings like this morning. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he really, really wanted to communicate. So he made a loud shout. He cried out. And it's really important, you know, whenever you're passionate about something, you will cry out. I mean, some of you in football, I'm telling you, you cry out louder than you do for God. They cry out, shout. He cried out in a loud voice saying, if anyone thirsts, in other words, if you want me, if you really want me, are you thirsty? Well, come to me. Because I'm the one who satisfies everything about the human life. You are complete in me, Jesus said. He stood, cried out, let him come to me and drink. Drink means to take in from his presence, to take in from being with him together. It's individual, but it's also corporate. But when the corporate becomes every individual seeking and thirsty for him, there is a God dimension that comes upon the church. Can you imagine us, all of us there on that day? Every single one of us saying, I'm thirsty. I'm coming to you, Jesus. You're the one I want. I want to leave everything else and just come to you. And I want to drink of who you are, your character. I want to drink of who you are. You're the provider. You're everything. You're my life. Let me take you in and be filled with Jesus, which actually is being filled with the Spirit, means to be full of God, full of Jesus. Let him come and drink. And then he says, he who believes, and you need to, as you simply come and take him in, trust that out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. In other words, one drink can become many rivers. And those rivers make dead people live. Those rivers are rivers of healing for the nations, the people around us. If you drink of Jesus, you will become a life source for many. And it's all about the Holy Spirit being released through those who come to Jesus. You'll find me when you come to me thirsty. This is what he means when he says, I'll meet you there. He does stuff. He fills you. He reignites passion for Jesus. And he brings us into a place where it's not just about us taking a drink for us, but what we drink in becomes a river for a lost and dying world. That is who he is. I'll meet you there. I'll meet you in the gathering. I'll meet you in the small groups, in the homes where two believers are. Friends who meet for coffee and just lift up the name of Jesus. I'll meet you whenever you draw aside in your heart to be with me. I'll meet you in the scriptures. I'll show you who I am. And I'll meet you in the secret place. These are just four places. But if you want to, you'll see him there. He says, I'm going to see you there. Let anyone come. And he says, anyone who's thirsty. Shall we stand? Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.